Heavenly Father, what a joy and what a privilege it is to open your word and know that in your word we find truth. And Jesus said that truth will make us free. Thank you for the freedom that we have in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the wholeness that you offer to us through the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ and members in particular. We are now bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. We are one spirit with you, Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of truth will now give us revelation knowledge to understand the things of the Spirit so that we might walk in unity, in peace, and in power for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. I want to share a little bit today on the subject of the anointing. Because of the anointing. Look at somebody and say, because of the anointing. I'm going to read this one verse of Scripture, Isaiah 10:27, to you. It talks about the anointing, about how it is because of the anointing that the yoke of bondage, is broken from our lives. In its proper context, the prophet is encouraging the children of Israel who are in bondage under the yoke of oppression from the king of Assyria. So in its proper context, God is encouraging his children that that yoke of the Assyrian king is about to be destroyed. It's about to be broken. But there's also a principle here for us today in the church that every yoke is destroyed because of the anointing of God in our life. And it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit today that sets the captives free. The prophet said, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Again, say with me, because of the anointing. Remember that, because of the anointing of God in your life today destroys every yoke of bondage. Now, I wanted to find out what anointing meant, and I looked it up in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and looked up the Hebrew words and the Greek words, and basically it means an unction or a consecratory gift, a gift that is consecrated unto God, or to be anointed. And one of the first mentions of this in the Bible is in the book of Exodus, when Aaron was anointed to be the first high priest of the nation of Israel, and his sons of the tribe of Levi were anointed to be priests unto God. And we find this in Exodus chapter 40, verse 12. It says, "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water." Wash them with water. In other words, if they were going to serve God, if they were going to be in God's presence, they had to be clean. Amen? They were first washed with water. Now, this is under the law. This is under the old covenant. But in the New Testament, we need to be washed by the water of the Word. God's Word is what keeps us clean, what keeps us pure. The blood of Jesus and the water of the Word of God. In verse 13, it says, "And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him." The word sanctify means to be set apart for service. Aaron was anointed. That means there was an unction imparted to him. A consecrated gift, in other words. He was anointed to be the high priest, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Notice the ministry was unto the Lord. Aaron was ministering unto the Lord on behalf of all of the children of Israel. "And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he." So we see here that Moses anointed Aaron as the high priest, and Aaron's sons were anointed also as priests unto the Lord, to minister unto the Lord. And the anointing to minister is everlasting. Look at somebody and say, everlasting. Everlasting. You know what that means? It means it lasts forever. Amen? It's an everlasting anointing. Now, the next place we see mentioned is in the book of Numbers, the 18th chapter, the 7th verse says, therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and you shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that comes nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. So because of the anointing, the sons of Aaron were consecrated forever. In other words, their anointing was not only everlasting, but God declares it forever. Every generation after them in the tribe of Levi, every generation of priests were anointed. It was a covenant that God had made. He had set apart the tribe of Levi to be priests unto him, to serve him on behalf of the nation of Israel. And it was an anointing that would destroy the yoke of bondage in their lives. Now, notice again that he calls it an everlasting or an anointing that is an ordinance forever. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That's the King James Version, but the New International Version reads this way. It says, for God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. God's gifts, when God gives you a gift, He never takes it back. It's yours forever. He never. And when God calls, He never removes that call from your life. If you're called into some kind of ministry, whether it's the fivefold ministry of an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, or you're called into the ministry of helps or whatever kind of ministry you're called to, it is an everlasting calling. And some people will try to disqualify you and say, well, you're divorced, you're disqualified, or you committed adultery, you're disqualified, or you lied, you're disqualified, you cheated, you did something really horrible. Do you realize that God knows your life from beginning to end? God is omniscient. He knows all things. And He knew about your shortcomings and your failures before you were ever born. But yet He still chose to call you and to anoint you because it is that anointing that protects you and keeps you. You understand that? And you understand that it's the blood of Christ that sanctifies you and cleanses you and makes you acceptable to the Father. Amen? So God is not accepting you based upon your goodness or your lack thereof. He's not accepting you upon your performance or upon your works. He's accepting you because you accepted His Son. You accepted the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are accepted in the Beloved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Himself was anointed by God the Father. The Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. And so we see Jesus needed this anointing in His life in order to fulfill the destiny that He had, in order to fulfill the will of God. If Jesus needed it, how much more do you and I need it? Amen? Do you realize that Jesus never performed any miracles up until the time He was 30 years old? We read about Him when He was 12 years old in the temple, debating with the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of law. And when He got separated from His parents and they found Him in the temple 3 days later, His question to them, they said, why did you do this? How come you separated yourself from us? And He looked at them in astonishment. He said, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But then He submitted Himself to them. And for the next 18 years, there's silence. We hear nothing at all about Jesus until He's 30 years old. And the next place we see Him is walking on the banks of the Jordan River. When John the Baptist was baptizing people, he looked up and he saw Jesus. And by revelation, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came down into the Jordan River And John baptized him, immersed him in water, and when he came up out of the water, the Bible says the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, and a voice spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's when Jesus was anointed. He was anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was tempted by the devil. And every temptation he overcame by saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." He spoke the Word of God, and that's what overcame temptation. And then the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, led him back into the region of Galilee where he began to fulfill his destiny and his ministry, where he began to preach the kingdom of God, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, and then he began to confirm his word with miracles, signs, and wonders. Do you realize Jesus healed every sick person that ever came to him? Jesus never rejected anybody. He never turned anybody away. He never made anybody sick. He made everybody well. Every funeral that Jesus ever attended, he raised the dead. Amen. He put the undertakers out of business. Glory to God. Even Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and Jesus said, "Remove the stone. Lazarus, come forth." And he come hopping out of there. He looked like a mummy, but he still came out of there. He was alive because the breath of life came back into him. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, that you might have it to the full." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants you to experience life and to have it to the full, to have it abundantly. God does not want you to have lack in your life. God doesn't want you to live in poverty. God doesn't want you to live in need. The 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want for any good thing." God wants to bless you. God wants to meet your need. God wants to take care of you. And you say, "Well, how come I don't have it?" Listen, what we need to do is align ourselves with God's word and start speaking what God has to say. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You need to start speaking words of life. You need to start speaking what God has to say about you. Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" To agree means to say the same thing. You need to start saying the same thing about yourself that God says about you. I want you to know that God loves you with an everlasting love, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it's a good plan and it's a good purpose, and He'll bring it to pass if you will cooperate with Him. Amen? That's what cooperation is cooperating with the Father. So what we need to do is to submit ourselves to God. James 5 says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from us." The devil has no power over you except to deceive and to lie. His modus operandum has always been the same. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen? You can see the fruit of his works in the world, killing, stealing, and destroying. You can also see the fruit of the work of Christ in this world. He said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went about doing good. The anointing is a good thing for your life. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It's the devil that brings the oppression and the depression into your life. It's the devil that kills and steals and destroys. It's the devil that brings sickness and disease and poverty. But Jesus did good and healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God the Father was with him. He was with him in the person of the Holy Spirit. He was with him in that powerful anointing. Notice he healed all of them. Not just some of them, but all of them. I thank God that the Scripture is very specific that he healed them all. Look at somebody and say, "He healed them all." I want you to look with me at the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 17. It says he came down with them. Luke 6:17. He came down with them and he stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, to be healed of their diseases. Healed of their diseases. They were seeking out Jesus because they had heard about this miracle worker. There'd never been anyone like him before. People came from all around the region to find Jesus. Why? Because the multitudes were sick and afflicted. Just like today in our world, no matter where you go, you're going to run into sick people. Amen? You leave this building today, before you get home, chances are you're going to come across somebody that's sick, crippled, diseased, depressed, needs help. Amen? They're everywhere, and Jesus came to help them, and it's the anointing of God in your life that will bring help to these people. You may feel like, I'm not equipped, I don't understand, I don't know what to do, but if you will let the anointing of God lead you and guide you and direct you, God will give you the wisdom to be able to minister to people. Remember, you're not ministering to people out of your resources. You need to minister to people out of God's resources. Amen? And our God shall supply all of our needs through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're not looking at your bank account. We're looking at the first bank of heaven. Amen? Amen? And if you're putting in deposits, you have every right to make withdrawals too. Amen? Amen. You bring your tithes. You bring your offerings. Praise God. You give it to the Lord out of a cheerful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. When the time comes that you have a need, all you have to do is believe, and the withdrawal comes next. Amen. Because the Bible says if we give, it shall be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God will cause men to give into your bosom. So don't be afraid of lack, and don't be afraid of not having enough. You've got more than enough in your account if you'll believe God. You need to stop looking at the things that are natural and start looking at the things that are supernatural. Stop looking at the temporal, start looking at the eternal. Start looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Philippians 1:6 says, He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. How many have had Jesus begin something in your life? Amen? Well, let me tell you something right now. He hasn't given up on you. So don't you dare give up on Him. And don't you dare give up on yourself, because God has glorious plans for every one of His children. Amen? None of His children are to live in poverty. None of His children are to live into sickness and disease. Let me tell you something right now. God gets accused of doing things that if He were a human parent, we could arrest Him for child abuse. Amen? People say, oh, you know, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the tsunamis, the cancer, the heart attacks, that's all acts of God. God's trying to teach us a lesson. But yet none of those things bear the image of our Father. God is love. It's not love to give somebody cancer. It's not love to break somebody's leg. It's not love to give somebody a heart attack. No, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We live in a world where the devil is always attacking us, but thank God we can put up the shield of faith and quench every fiery dart of the enemy, and we can stand up with boldness and proclaim Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of Him. God wants you to realize that He is for you. He's not against you. The devil wants you to believe that God's angry with you, God's mad with you, God won't take up for you, God won't help you. But thank God, the Word of God tells us, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You are His beloved. You're the apple of His eye. You're the one that He loves. You're the one that He died and rose again to give eternal life. Amen? And notice this scripture goes on to say in verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. You see, there are demon spirits in this world today. There are demons that want to oppress, depress, and even possess people's lives. And you'll see their evil, ugly work in people's lives. It's the same fruit of killing, stealing, and destroying. But I want you to know, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you do not have to be afraid of the devil, because Jesus completely defeated him on the cross. He no longer has any power except the power of deception. Don't you let him deceive you. Don't you let him lie to you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. In Mark chapter 16, in the Great Commission, Jesus said in verses 16 through 18, He said, these signs will follow them that believe. And the very first sign that He said that would follow a believer, can anybody tell me what it is? In My name, what'll He do? Cast out demons. Listen, there are demons out there. There are demonic spirits out there, and they want to kill and steal and destroy. They want to make your life a mess. But thank God, in the name of Jesus, you can cast out demons. And it's not by your works or your goodness or your intelligence or your dedication. It is the name of Jesus that demons submit and bow their knee to. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When Jesus showed up on the scene and somebody was demon-possessed or demonized, they started screaming and hollering, What have I to do with thee, thou Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? They know what their destiny is. They're going to the lake of fire where they're going to be burned and tormented forever and ever. They know that. And Jesus didn't waste time talking with them. Basically, he would say to them, shut up and come out. We see all these movies about all these distorted things that people do in exorcisms to try to get demons to come out. But if you go back and read your Bible, the Bible is very clear. You don't need to do very much except say, shut up and come out in Jesus' name. That's it. Bottom line. Why do I want to talk with the demon? He's a liar anyway. He's not going to tell me the truth. I don't need to have any conversation with him. Just shut up and come out. Say it with me. Shut up and come out in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't have to be afraid. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be diligent. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about. See, he can't even afford a car. He walks about seeking those whom he may devour. He's looking for people that will be fearful, who will believe his lies. But he's just a roaring lion. The roaring lion is usually the old lion that doesn't have any teeth. And I tell you what, Jesus pulled the devil's teeth on Calvary 2,000 years ago. He disarmed him. He took away his power. And all he's doing now is trying to scare people. And if he can scare you with all of his roaring and yelling and hollering and all of those antics, then he'll paralyze you with fear. But thank God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is the one that's in you, and it's that anointing. Because of the anointing that's inside of you, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. Verse 19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue out of him and healed them all. The word virtue is also the word anointing. Anointing came out of Jesus. When people got close to him to touch him, the anointing of God came out of him. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garments, I'll be healed. When she touched him, she felt in herself that she was whole with that plague. Jesus stopped the whole parade and said, who touched me? They go, what are you talking about? You're surrounded by all kinds of people. Everybody's touching you. No, he said, there was one special touch here. That woman touched him in faith, and that anointing, that virtue, that power flowed out of him and went into her and made her whole. Amen? And that virtue is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went into the synagogue and asked for the roll of the prophet, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, he opened it up to the place that we in our Bibles call Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Amen? He has anointed me. The Father had anointed Jesus. He anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, and he sent him to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, amen, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He's talking about the anointing of God destroying the yoke of bondage in our lives. The acceptable year of the Lord, he's talking about the year of Jubilee. In the Old Covenant, under the law, there was every 50 years, the year of Jubilee, when all debts were canceled and forgiven and everybody got their property back and everything. Well, Jesus is saying, I am your Jubilee. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of Jubilee. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says in the temple, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies and the holiness of God from the people, it was tore from the top to the bottom, signifying that God himself ripped that curtain apart, and he opened it up, and he said, now you're welcome into my presence. Before, only one person could go in there once a year. That was the high priest. But Jesus Christ, the great high priest, went into the real Holy of Holies in heaven, and he put his blood on the altar. And so the symbolism had completed its purpose. And God said, we don't need this curtain anymore. I'll just rip it apart and you all come. You are welcome. Come on in and fellowship with me and I with you. That's why Jesus can say to us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and he to me and I will sup with him. I'll have fellowship with him. I will be with him always. Amen. It's that anointing of God that destroys the yoke of bondage that the devil tries to put in all of our lives. Also remember in 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, because as He is, so are we in this world. Do you realize that because Jesus was anointed and you are in Christ, that you are anointed as well? Look at somebody and smile and say, I'm anointed. Amen. You are anointed. Now, I know, you know, you can kind of say that and blow it off, and then you'll go out of here and you go home and maybe you might get a headache or a backache or something. You forget all about that anointing. You just start talking about how bad I feel. I feel so bad. I look so bad. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you need to do is remember when that headache starts, that backache starts, or you get a bill in the mail and you look in your checkbook and you don't have enough money to pay it, and you go, I don't have enough money to pay it. Well, what you need to do is start saying what God says. By His stripes I am healed. My God supplies all of my needs through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You say, but I don't have it. Well, you don't have it because you just said you don't have it. Quit speaking death and start speaking life. Start agreeing with God. Amos 3:3 again. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You got to start agreeing with God. If you want to have what God says, start saying what God says about you. And God is saying some really nice things about you that you need to start saying about yourself. Amen? And we need to start saying them about each other too. I look out there and I say, Bob, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Dwayne, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Christy, we got at least two of them here. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Why can I say that? Because God said it, and I'm agreeing with God. I want to say what God says about you. You know, we can look at each other, and we can pick each other apart. We can be critical. We can be judgmental. We can see the flaws. We can see the shortcomings. We can see the sins. We can see the failures, and we can confess that. Or we can look at each other as God our Father looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are greatly blessed. You are highly favored. You are deeply loved. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. You are glorious. You are destined for greatness. That's what God says about every one of His children. Amen? Those are words of edification. Those are prophetic words, exhortation. They're comforting, amen? And most of us, I can speak for myself, but most of us in our generations grew up under a lot of oppressive words. People telling us, we're never going to do it, we're never going to make it, you can't do this and you can't do that. But thank God, if we start agreeing with God, His word, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. You know what? If your heart's been broken, Jesus came to repair it. Amen? Listen, you're not talking about so much your physical heart being broken. If your physical heart was broken, you'd die. Because if it's broke, it's not working. If your heart's not working, it's not pumping blood. If it's not pumping blood, you a dead man. Are you hearing me? But He's talking about your spirit, your broken, wounded spirit, your heart, your innermost being. He said, I've come to heal that. How does He do that? He restores us by grace in our relationship with the Father. Amen? It's by the grace of God and the mercy of God that we can be restored to a relationship with the Father through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. I want to share with you one more passage of Scripture, and then we'll conclude in just a moment. But please turn with me to Luke chapter 5. You were there in Luke 4, 6, 7, along in there. Just turn to chapter 5, verse 16, and watch this beautiful story unfold. It says that He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and He prayed. This is speaking of Jesus, Luke chapter 5, verse 16. And it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That is the anointing. The anointing was present to heal. I'm going to tell you something. The anointing is present to heal here this morning too. None of you need leave here today with pain, discomfort, sickness, or disease in your body, because the anointing of God abides here continually in you, in us. We just need to tap into it. We need to release our faith and believe God to honor His word. Verse 18, behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, he saw their faith. Faith is a tangible thing. You can see faith in operation. What did Jesus see? He saw that they were not going to allow any obstacle to keep them from his presence. If they couldn't get in the door, if they couldn't get in the window, they're going, we're going to tear the roof off of this place. We're going to get into the presence of Jesus. Listen to me. That's the kind of determination that you need to have in your life. If you're going to receive things from God, you need to make up your mind. You're not going to allow any obstacle to stop you from getting into God's presence. Amen? What you need to understand is you don't need to go anywhere to get into God's presence because the Bible says in Him we live and move and have our very being. Amen? You don't have to come here to this building, this physical building, to get into the presence of God. You're in the presence of God under your covers this morning. Before your feet hit the floor, Jesus is under those covers with you. You just might not have felt Him there, but He was there, I guarantee you. Amen? He is under my covers too. Amen? He woke me up this morning with a song in my heart, with the joy of the Lord is my strength. I get out of bed in the morning, I thank God that He's my life, He's my breath, He's my source of happiness, He's my fulfillment in life. Amen? And He wants to be that for every one of us. And Jesus saw their faith. And you know what? This man needed healing. But more than anything, he needed to have guilt removed from his life and condemnation. You know what? You can be healed of a physical disease and still walk around feeling guilty, dirty, unclean, and separated from God. Amen? So you know what? Jesus addressed the real issue. He said, Son, notice he called him son. Man, well, here he says, man, your sins are forgiven thee. Now watch this. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, they were true. That was true. Nobody can forgive sins except God. But that's the very point. Jesus was trying to show them and prove to them that He is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Hallelujah. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Now watch this. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, rise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Notice they glorified God. Amen? And they said that they had seen strange things. Well, it was strange to them, but how many of you know it wasn't strange to God? Amen? That should be the norm. When people need healing, they should come and we should pray and they should get it. Amen? Now notice Jesus made this comment. He said, what is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? If I were to ask you that question, and I would say this to you right now, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk? Which is easier to say? Somebody tell me. Yeah, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because you're not going to see any tangible evidence of that right away, right? If I say your sins are forgiven, you could say, amen, I agree with that, praise the Lord, but there's nothing noticeable. But if you're sitting there and you're crippled and I say unto you, rise, take up your bed and walk, well, that's where the rubber meets the road. Either you're going to get up and walk or I just lied to you, amen? So it's easier to say your sins are forgiven than it is to say rise and take up your bed and walk. But Jesus was using that to prove a point. He said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you might know, that you might understand that the Son of Man does have power on earth to forgive sins, I'm going to prove it by doing the harder part, which is to say, take up your bed and walk. And he turned to that man and he said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And that man was healed instantly. So the harder thing he did, proving that the easier thing was done. If he could do the healing, he could do the forgiving as well. And that was the point he was making. Which is easier to say. Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. But he said, "I'm proving to you that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I'm saying to you, rise, take up your bed and walk." And praise God. Immediately he rose up and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they also glorified God, because they realized not only did God forgive sins, but he healed him of his sickness and diseases. Amen? And it was all because of the anointing. And I want you to remember that you are anointed as well. The Apostle John in 1 John 2:20 says this, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." If you look up that word unction, it is anointing. It means anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, that doesn't mean that you're omniscient, that you literally know everything, but it means in any given situation, the wisdom that you need is available to you because of the anointing that abides within you. The word unction here in the Greek is an endowment of the Holy Spirit, an anointing, and unction. But you have an endowment of the Holy Spirit. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. If you drop down to verse 27, it says, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Him." The anointing of God abides in every true born-again believer. And that's why I want to encourage every one of you today, the anointing of God in your life will destroy every yoke of bondage that Satan tries to put on you. Listen to me. Before you leave this building today, I want you to settle it in your hearts that God is no respecter of persons, but He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And if you will just give yourself completely to Him, His anointing will begin to manifest in your life. Earlier this morning, Glenn and I were talking. He was talking about having a toothache, but he fell down and hit his face and almost knocked his tooth out, and it was causing him pain. And I shared with him while I was on this trip, I don't know what happened, but I had a toothache so bad that I felt like the top of my head was coming off. I couldn't chew on the side of my mouth. Lizelle laid hands on me and prayed for me, and we prayed for 3 days. And on the third day, the pain in my tooth left. But when I got up to go shave, I looked in the mirror and my face was swollen up twice as normal size. It's like I was a chipmunk. I had a big fat cheek there. And that lasted for 3 days. I don't know, you know, in your mind, you're trying to think out logically what happened. I had an abscess in there, and I prayed, and the poison came out and went into my cheek and my gum, and it swollen. I don't know what happened. I just know that it wasn't God's will, and it wasn't any fun. And I know that, you know, most people would say, "I need to get to a dentist right away." Well, thank God, He is the Lord that healeth us. Amen? He's my dentist. He's my doctor. He's my heart surgeon. He's my whatever I need Him to be. That's what He is. And I'm just stubborn enough that to believe His word and hold on to it. So Lizelle prayed for me again. We prayed and almost 3 days. It was 6 days, almost a week. And finally that swelling went down and the pain's gone and everything's normal and it's fine now. The point I'm making is the anointing of God is inside every one of us, and we need to be stubbornly persistent with the word of God, because God's word is settled forever in heaven. Amen? Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I have sent it for, and the thing wherein I send it to shall prosper." God sent His word, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So no matter what the enemy puts on your plate, whatever he throws in your face, whatever challenge you're up against today or tomorrow, you remember God is for you and not against you. against you. God is with you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You don't have lack, you have opportunity. Amen? If you look and you say, I don't have this, what you have is an opportunity to prove God in your life that He will meet that need. He will take care of you. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. In January of 1980, I was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God came upon me, and it was the first time I ever had that kind of a visitation from the Lord. I was kneeling inside the Church of All Nations at a place they call the Rock of Agony. Historically, they believe that that's rock formation that's there. They've built an altar around it, but they believe that that's the rock where Jesus prayed and agonized in prayer till He sweat drops of blood upon that rock. And I was kneeling there praying, and I lifted my hands up, and suddenly it was like someone took a pitcher of warm honey and just poured it down over my hands and my arms. And God spoke to me very sovereignly, and He said, take my healing power to the nations. Take my healing power to the nations. That was in January of 1980. And the first crusade that I had out of the country was in, I think it was June, in the summer of 1981. So it was over a year later. But in that crusade, we had 25,000 people attend, and 10 blind people received their sight in that meeting. Confirmed people born blind, lost their vision, lost their sight. They received their sight. God sovereignly not only did that, but there were crippled and lame people. All kinds of healing miracles took place. And from that time until now, He's allowed me to go to 35 nations to pray for the sick and see miracles and signs and wonders happen. I just know that as we get closer to the return of the Lord, the anointing is intensifying, the anointing is increasing. And then on February the 11th, 2 days and 1 year ago, February the 11th was Wednesday night, 2010, 2 o'clock in the morning, I sat up in my bed in my little apartment. It was black, coal black. The doors were closed. There's no windows there. Can't even see your hand in front of your face when the door shut. It's that dark in that room. I sat up in my bed, and my whole room was lit up. And there was a bright amber light shining on the ceiling. And my first response, I just sat up in bed and started singing in tongues. And I lifted my hands, and I started praising God. I started praising God. I started worshiping God. And that light moved down from the ceiling onto my hands. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and He said, I'm giving you a fresh anointing for the healing ministry. And then I went to sleep a little bit after that, and I had a dream. God shared some things, some personal things about my life. He began to show me some things and opportunities He was going to open up to me. He told me television ministry was going to open back up to me again. And, you know, here just a few weeks ago, we get an invitation to go back to Pittsburgh and do some television work. That program was viewed by millions of people around the world. They're in 50 nations on worldwide satellite, so a lot of people had the opportunity. We prayed for the sick on that program. But most of you that are here regularly, the most notable thing that happened to me a couple weeks after that, I laid hands on myself because I had been trying to lose weight for 20 years. I weighed the same amount of weight for 20 years. I laid hands on myself. I just said, I take authority over that excess body fat and I command it to leave in Jesus' name. And then forgot about it. Didn't even think anything more about it. 6 weeks later, I get up one morning and I look in the mirror before I come to church and I go, well, my stomach looks flatter than it did. I don't normally weigh myself, but I got on the scales. And the last time I weighed myself, I weighed 238 pounds. And when I got on the scales that morning, I weighed 198 pounds. I had lost 40 pounds in 40 days. That's a pound a day. And I don't know of any diet that you can lose a pound a day on. And besides that, I didn't change my eating habits or my exercise habits. God just sovereignly melted that off. And that was a sign to me that that anointing is real. Now, you know, it's not me being anyone special other than the fact that God's called me to do something, but He's called every one of you to do something, and the anointing of God is just as much inside of every one of you. It's because of the anointing that the yoke of bondage is broken and destroyed in our lives. And God is telling us He wants us to begin to depend upon Him more and more for all things. We may be a small congregation and we have great challenges ahead of us, but praise God, we have a great God too. Amen? There's a community here in Lawrence, Kansas, that needs a manifestation of the glory of God and the uncompromised Word of God and the message of His grace. There are people out here, no matter where you go, there are people out here that need Jesus in their life. Amen? And you don't have to be a theologian or have a doctorate in theology or even know the Bible back and forth. You just need to know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you know enough to get somebody to heaven. And that's what God's concerned about. Proverbs 10:30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." We need to be soul winners. We need to be bringing people to church. We need to be getting people in here and exposing them to the Word of God and to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." So we're believing God to bring in the people. But it comes through your prayer and through your faith and through your dedication and through your commitment. You be here and God will show up too. Amen. It's all because of the anointing that God is about to do marvelous things. You need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit? Let me conclude with this verse of Scripture found in Psalm 92, verse 10. It says, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Look at somebody and say, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Hallelujah. Raise your hands and praise Him now. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and lives today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Pour out your Spirit now on all flesh here. Pour out your Spirit on all of your people here. Glory to His holy name. Glory to His holy name. Karima nokina sama nakariaso tomolianda basa elondo borokoshi nikolomosanda ipalaraman debeko shinite palora anamosi ilora eliana kuuposhan ilbranda ikostanamiko sandai echendo sasai ikonasin. For the Spirit of the Lord says, "Rejoice and be glad for the times that you live in and the seasons that you find yourself in. For these are glorious times for the children of the Lord. For those who will truly believe my word and press into my presence and ask for those things that I offer. Because I will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly before me. And I will not withhold my anointing from you. My anointing abides within you. And as you step out in faith and believe my word and act on my word and speak my word, I will watch over my word. I will bring it to pass. I will bless you greatly, and I will take care of every need in your life. So rejoice and know that I am your Father, and I will not forsake you, and the days ahead will be glorious days for those who will believe my word, says the Lord." Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Just join hands with somebody and let's just pray this prayer together right now. Pray this with me out loud. Say these words with me. Father God, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells me. I thank you for the anointing that abides within me. And I thank you for anointing me with fresh oil to be the ambassador of Christ that you have called me to be. I believe I have the favor of God in my life and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I declare I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am greatly blessed. I am highly favored. I am deeply loved. The blessing of the Lord makes me truly rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. I declare that the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. I shall not lack for any good thing. By His stripes, I have been healed. I walk in divine health, in divine prosperity, in divine provision, and in divine protection. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're coming soon. Until you get here, I will occupy and do whatever you tell me. I am yours completely. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God.